Welcome to Freedom of Mind, your boy Ray Will.
Yeah, you already know. Ew.
All right, we got a special guest for you guys. We got some people, including my damn self, who need a little bit of financial advice, a little bit of financial expertise, help you with your credit or whatnot, and move you, you know, good moves to make. You know, specifically probably a little bit more on the credit side. And so we got a guest for you guys upcoming. You know, of course, we got your Speak Your Mind segment right after this intro. Any opening remarks? L?
All I can say is it's February. You know, happy Black History Month.
Oh, yeah.
Happy early Valentine's Day. I know everybody that's in a relationship, you know, happy Valentine's Day. And, you know, get your wifey, get your hubby, whatever you need, your little teddy bears. Oh, yo, that shit, you know, that shit played out. Okay, let me just say that. Valentine's Day is played out. This shit happened. It's been happening for years. It's just a scheme. It's a scheme, really. Because if you look at it, you've given your significant other mad gifts throughout the year, right? You done got Christmas. You done got birthdays. You done got anniversaries. You got a whole lot of stuff. So you talking about they made a holiday in the middle of a month that only has 29 days on a leap year. And it's a day of giving to that significant. Like, what the fuck? What's your opinion on that, Ray? What is your opinion on this holiday?
I agree. It is
a scheme.
It is a scheme. It's a gimmick. Just to get your ass to pay some damn money. Because I'm pretty sure there was a time when nobody really either people didn't know about Valentine's Day or people just didn't give a shit. Like, okay, all right, Valentine's Day, I don't give a fuck. Feel what I'm saying? And then you got the retail and the media that got involved and all this shit. Even the government. That got involved with it, like, oh, we can make some money off these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Let's just say, oh, yeah, Valentine's Day and all this and crap and promote it. And that's what I think would happen. Absolutely. Yeah. You talking about just pretty much a bunch of hustlers got involved and just make it seem like it's significant and it ain't. You know what I'm saying? So, and now the perception is like, if you don't buy nothing for your lady, then she gonna be pissed off. You didn't get nothing for me on Valentine's Day and all this shit.
That's it. Listen. That's a cop out right there. He just saying that shit because he know he can't go home without having a gift at least.
I'm just saying.
He need a basket of flowers, a box of chocolate, teddy bears, the whole lotto. Like, to me, that shit crazy. Even if I was with somebody, I really wouldn't, you know, give into this holiday just because, like, if you care about that person, you don't need a holiday to show that you care about that person. I mean, that ain't nothing. That ain't a cop out or nothing. But that's how I look at it. That's how I look at it. I mean, shit is a scheme, man. It ain't nothing but a scheme. But
I feel you that
one. What else was I gonna say? What else going on in February? What you think? Anything else going on in February?
Not a damn thing. Tax season coming up, or it is tax season right now, right? Like I said, we're gonna, you know, tap in on that.
Everybody got their financials ready. W-2s, 1095-C's, B's and A's, all that shit. I mean, just make sure when you get your refund, this is a year of, honestly, when you get your refund, don't just spend it at that point. This is a year of people are transitioning. As we see in this generation, not too many people are really dipping in and dabbling into stocks, and we'll get into that a little bit further into the show. But this generation and this year, everybody will see a true turnout. Everybody will see something that we've never seen before, and that's mostly our generation getting more involved into these trades and things. I think through the turn of this decade, we're gonna see more people that were of lower class that didn't really know too much. I think we're gonna definitely see them be of wealth. I think we definitely are gonna go and see who's the lions and who's the zebras, really. I think that's what we'll definitely see in this decade. I think that's what I'm predicting too. I think we're gonna have a lot of people that are gonna gain wealth. I think we're gonna have a lot of people that are gonna be invested in things that we would never thought before. So shout out to everybody doing their thing, man, and really learning and just, you know, taking what you hear, and like a sponge, you just soak up all that knowledge. And I think that's just so perfect, because nobody, especially in the nation we're in, will tell you how to go and get it. So you got to go and take it yourself, and you got to do your research, man. So shout out to everybody doing their thing, man. What else, Ray? What else you got to say?
Shit, let's go on with the rest of the show, y'all. Y'all stay tuned. Speak your mind here. This is Ray Will. Check this out. I want to do a little bit of preaching real quick. I'm a little bit tired of a little bit of selfishness going on. People lack of unity. I know it's probably the corniest conversation or whatever, but like I've been preaching, I may have said it before on here, but you know, racism is retarded. It's the most dumbest, retarded thing known to mankind. Well, it's at least up there. It's all these different emotions going on. You know, we talk about superiority. You think you better than somebody for no logical reason, based off just the color of their skin or the way they look, which is retarded. But when you really need their ass, you throw all of that out the window. All of a sudden, it just magically goes away. Like if you join the military or the police force, the military or whatever, you're like, oh, you know, I can't stand these motherfuckers. But you're in the line of duty, line of fire. Oh, you know, and then you want this motherfucker to help save your life. Whoa, he's not capable. So he's not going to save your life. He's too dumb. Oh, no, all of a sudden, no, he's smart. He's capable of saving your life. So, yeah, the shit is retarded. You got even something that comes from jealousy. You got racism that they even derive, you know, with jealousy or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Even that. Something that people may not want to admit. I may have mentioned... probably what this led from was just another LeBron story. And it's like, I try to avoid that. But this whole deal with this chick who was heckling, you know what I'm saying? And they playing basketball and LeBron got into a argument, I guess, with a guy. And you got this... you know, this chick or whatever. I'm sorry. She looked like a bimbo. She got tonight and she looked old, man. Like she was 25 or whatever. Looked old as hell. But anyhow, yeah. And, you know, LeBron got into a little heated argument with the guy courtside. And the chick, who's his wife, the guy's wife or whatever, she got on and got in and started yelling at LeBron. And we don't know what words were exchanged. There was no audio or video available, but she ended up getting thrown out of the game. And I think the reason why they threw her out of the game is because she took her mask off. So yeah, that should be warranted of getting kicked out of the game. They probably told her to put it on or whatever. I don't know the story. Like I said, again, there was no audio, but I can imagine, hey, put your mask back on, put your mask back on. She kept fucking yelling or whatever. Okay, so you're going to have to get the hell up out of here then. You don't want to keep your damn mask on. Hell, we really ain't supposed to be having no damn fans up in here any damn way, and your ass is fucking it up. So get the fuck out. So, you know, LeBron, he went back. He was like, oh, you know, he just, you know, he didn't like the fact that he didn't agree that they got kicked out or whatever. You know what I'm saying? He didn't like criticize anybody or anything. He was just like, my opinion, you know, I didn't think they should have got kicked out, but, you know, it is what it is, you know. But he said he loved the fans' interaction. That is just stuff like that happens. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't at home. They weren't at Staples, you know what I'm saying? They were away. You know, you could. I think they're in Atlanta. And, you know, you get that. You get, you know, loud ass, silly fans or whatever, you know. I love it. Hell, I'm really going to kill y'all now. You know, so I'm going to kill your basketball team now. You know, I was just kind of taking it easy. Now I'm going to really destroy y'all. I'm going to make sure y'all lose. So, you know, that's stuff like that or whatever, you know. But how does that tie into my original point? That ties into, I think it was a little bit of hate for LeBron. I really do. Because she got on there on social media and she was like, oh, LeBron called me out my name and he's not who he say he is and he's phony and all this or whatever. It's like you trying to make LeBron look bad. It's like you trying to change his character, you know what I'm saying? Or you know, trying to make it seem like he's worse, a bad person. Like you have a personal issue with LeBron. And like, I'm not calling the lady a racist. I'm not, you know, but it came off racist. You feel what I'm saying? And we need to stop that, man. All this and all this selfishness that we got going on or whatever. Then also, I'm gonna tap in on communities, right? I don't think there is a such thing as a black community. I don't think so, because we don't own it. We don't own that shit. We don't own nothing there. We don't even own the houses or the places that we live in a lot of times. Some of us do. Back in the day, we did. Maybe your grandma owned some or whatever, but for the most part, we don't really own that damn community. And people going around calling it a black community. Get the hell out of here. I don't agree with that, but I can understand what you're saying, that maybe black people inhabit that community more than others, but still, we don't own that damn community. But that being said, I just think that everybody needs to support one another in their community. I think that would really be cool, regardless of your race. And everybody got potential, man, and things could be better than what it is, man. All this segregation and all this selfishness going on or whatever, again, like I said, it's unnecessary, it's stupid. And I would just like to close it out on that or whatever, y'all. Hey, let's stick together. This ain't on no black tip. This is on everybody. You know what I'm saying? Everybody in the community, within their communities. All right? Speak your mind, y'all. Alrighty. So right now we got Alex Jordan. Alex Jordan is a financial advisor. So we'd like to welcome man Alex onto the podcast. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, Ray? Thank you guys for inviting me onto your podcast. I greatly appreciate it, man.
Hey, man, no problem, man. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it, bro.
What's up, man? Alex,
hey, what's
right?
What's going on? Yes, what's going on, bro?
Man, appreciate you, man, coming on the show, Freedom of Mind. You already know how this goes. So we're going to ask you a couple questions and, you know, give some answers to the youth that is really watching us right now.
Sure. So.
Sounds good, man.
All right. First question is, obviously, tax season is coming up. Well, it is here. I don't know why. That's the second time I said that. It's coming up. It's here, right? Tax season is here, man.
Don't
so
worry, like the IRS coming up for your ass.
It's always. You talking about boy? I mean, come on, man. Uncle Sam and me don't get along in that regards, man. You know, I don't want to go there. But anyhow, hey, any advice you got for anybody regarding taxes, man? How to prepare them or whatnot or anything regarding that?
You know, when it comes to taxes specifically, man, the biggest advice I can give to you is before you even go in the file, go in with the game plan. Understanding that you want to actually invest in something that's going to be useful and that's going to be worthy of your time. I mean, a lot of people, when they do file, they already have their mind made up on, okay, you know, once I get my money back, I'm going to go shopping. I'm going to go buy some new shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Buy new J's. I'm going to buy a TV or I'm going to upgrade to that brand new phone. But yet, a lot of people don't even invest into themselves. They're not thinking about what they could do with that money. They're not thinking about the fact that they could take $200 or $300 of that money and actually go and start a business with that.
Just so, that part. Yeah. What would you say, L?
Go ahead.
L was gonna say something about your, you know, the business point you make.
I had just said that earlier on the show, because me myself, I invested in my business last year and I bought an LLC. So I really hold on to my refund. Even when I got my stimulus, I didn't really fuck it up. You know, I did this thing called payback credit and stuff. I've been telling my man Ray about what credit really do for you. And just the resources in this nation that they give you, just really try to hold on to it and put it into something else. And that's the same thing that I be preaching to these kids, you know, because I really stand behind the owners of this country and stuff. And those are the people that will turn into the 1%. But the wealth between the rich, there's a divide. You dig? The wealth knows how to hold on to that money. The wealth knows where to put that money. You know, too many of us want to fuck up our checks and just put it into shit that is just, it's really, it's untrue what they see in these rap videos or what they see with these rich people that wear these nice things or have these nice things. What you really want to do is, like Alex just said, you know, invest in a business, go out there and get it. Because nobody really is going to give it to you in this nation, and nobody's going to give you that blueprint.
That's for damn sure.
Nobody's going to give you that blueprint that says, look, Uncle Sam done took 14% out of your taxes that year. Nobody's going to tell you what you need to do with your taxes, with that money that they held on to you. Nobody's going to tell you what to do with it. You know, so everybody need to listen up.
Sure, man.
Man, you know what? Man, you said some very powerful things, man.
That's what he do.
Within that short amount of time. I mean, for instance, you spoke on credit. And you also spoke on wealth and how to obtain it and whatnot. Now, when it comes to credit specifically, now you said you spoke to Ray about credit, and what did you speak to him about?
Basically, you know, making sure that score is up, making sure all that debt is taken care of. And I recently just learned with credit could get you the nice thing that you need. Like, check this out. If you have a credit line so good and your score is so good and you built it up, you paid off your debt, you put a card in your name. If you have kids, you could put credit in their name. They'll mess around, and in high school, if you pay off your bills on time and do it right, your kids will have a perfect score by the time they hit 15. Credit is so important in this country to do things like own a store, to open up a business even. Credit is so important with banks. When you take out a credit card for your business, when you do things like that and you pay off marketing and you pay off advertisement through the year, that's cash back. That's bread in your pocket, especially if you got a credit with that bank. That's like, you pay $100,000 in advertisement a year, you get at least $7,000 back from the bank. And that's rent. That's a monthly payment of rent. You can go ahead and buy yourself the nice things, but you're doing it the wiser way, you know? You're using your money the wiser way. You're letting your money really work for you instead of you working for that money. You know, and your credit score has to be phenomenal. There's certain things where certain people can't get if they don't have a good credit score. I'm talking about you need certain plane tickets and you don't have the money at that time. Your credit, if it's outstanding, you're going to get approved right then and there, and you won't have to pay out of pocket.
Straight up.
That's how important credit is.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I agree. Man. Boy, you just got annoying. Credit is extremely powerful, very important, man. And you're hitting these pinpoints. You're hitting them down to the teeth. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Speaking on the topic of credit, when it comes to the wealthy, how do they build generational wealth?
First, they'll build their credit, which, like I said, they, you know, pass it down to their kids. Generational wealth.
So I want to stop you right there. One of the biggest and main things they do is build their credit score. They make sure their credit score stay up. They make sure their credit report stay clean. And the reason being is because when they do that, when they go out and apply for anything, they're going to automatically get approved for it without no guess, with the lowest interest rates possible, minimal to no down payment. And as far as the monthly payments go, they're going to receive the lowest monthly payments as possible.
Correct.
See, by doing that, that keeps you out of debt in so many different ways. Yeah. Just by doing that alone, that opens up the floodgates for so many different opportunities for you to actually go and invest in other things as well. It frees up so much money. It creates so much cash flow. I'm sorry, am I cutting somebody off?
Oh, man? No, man. We listen to you, bro. We're schooling.
Okay, yeah, man. It opens up the floodgates and it creates cash flow. And then on top of that, people fail to realize how powerful credit is. Mm-hmm. Just a prime example. Some people know this, but for those who don't know this, this is a simple analogy game. You take care of your credit, you get your credit score up, you clean your credit report up, now you start your own business. Okay, so far you're funding everything out of your pocket. Now, here's where you want to swap that up. You open up your own bank account, you get your own LLC, you get your own tax ID. For 6 months straight, you have monthly deposits coming in, no matter how much it is, at least the minimum of $100 a month at least. But you have monthly deposits coming in. You have a track record of money coming into your of your business generating income. That 6 months come, you go in, you apply for business credit. You get that business credit, you get approved for a simple $200,000 in business credit. You can take that business credit and you could turn around and either go buy a house in that, buy some type of real estate. That could be a down payment. You could go buy a car. You could do whatever you want to do with that business credit, and you can put it under your business name and then turn around and flip it. Stuff like that, but a lot of people don't even think about stuff like that.
And a lot of times,
a lot of this stuff becomes a tax write-off. Because why? It's under your business now.
That's exactly what we've been telling them about tax write-offs and how important that is. I mean, there should be no reason why you are paying for your business and you won't recuperate that back. You know, that's how the 1% of this country do it. And then say if your credit is out of whack and you're trying to rebuild it, what I would recommend is opt out of secondary background checks. Now, secondary background checks is the data that they hold for so many things that were on your bad credit before. That holds your old addresses. That holds your old evictions. That holds so much stuff on your credit history, where it might lead you into roadblocks to try to rebuild your credit again. So I would strongly suggest when you're out there and you're trying to run your credit up again, and I would strongly suggest to opt out of secondary background checks. That's opting out of those companies, those data centers that hold all that old information on your history. Those are those companies that it's all private sellers. Credit is a private business. It's not Uncle Sam that's regulating it.
Mm-hmm, right.
So what you're trying to really do is beat this system of those private sellers that own those credit businesses, those secondary credit bureaus that track you down and have you pay them. So if you're really going in and you're going to apply for a secure card or something that will build your credit up again, youth out there, please opt out of a secondary background so they, you know, they can't check that other history. It basically gives you ahead of the game.
How do you do that?
It'll give you the option. It will give you the option when you go ahead and sign up. I'm not 100% sure how the other process goes, but I'm just learning as it goes too. So.
Yeah, that's definitely very powerful, bro. Very, very powerful. One of the main things that people need to understand when it comes to credit is, first off, when it comes to the credit bureaus, they're not government entities. They're privately owned. Mm-hmm. So let's take the fear away from that. And let's treat it I'm just gonna leave it at that. Let's take the fear away from that.
we got you, man. We got what you mean.
Secondly, we definitely want to make sure that when it comes to our credit, we're paying close attention to it. We're monitoring it each month. Now, in between time, keep in mind to understand your credit score is going to fluctuate constantly. Now, in the midst of that, you want to make sure that. I'm sorry, did I just cut somebody off?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought I heard something. But yeah, in the midst of that, you definitely want to make sure that when it comes to anything that you owe, anything that falls into collections, you want to dispute that off your credit report before you actually, you should dispute that off your credit report before you actually go in and actually create a settlement. Okay. And there's multiple reasons behind that. Depending on what it is you owe, who you owe, it just may very well be in your best interest to not pay that up front. But for the most part, the reason behind that, though, is because the moment you actually go in and you settle a debt that's on your credit report with a debt collector, you're automatically, what's the word I'm looking for? You're automatically reassuring that debt is yours. When in all reality, they don't have any proof that debt is yours. They're calling you, they're harassing you, they're blowing your phone up day and night and whatnot. They're doing a lot of things that are illegal that you can take them to court for, but a lot of people don't even know that. But the biggest thing you must understand is when it comes to a debt that you may owe, you want to dispute that off your credit report and then move forward with setting up a settlement plan if that's what you choose to do. But the biggest thing you want to do is have it removed from your credit report, because the moment you reassure that debt is yours, it's going to automatically stick to your credit report for 7 to 10 years. And that's something you do not want. You want to have it wiped off as soon as possible.
That part.
And that's another way of taking care of your credit report and your credit score.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's real talk, bro. See, that's why I deal with you, bro. And you know, we can get into that. But the follow-up question I got for you, bro, is what made you get into this? What made you get into this profession?
You know what? Me on a personal level, man, growing up, I never had any knowledge of credit. I never knew how important credit was. I just knew there is this word called credit that was floating around out there. And a lot of adults spoke on it. Mm-hmm. Right. So with that being said, when I got old enough, I started applying for different credit cards and stuff like that, and I started getting approved for a different amount, $1,000 here, $1,000 there, $500 here, and I never did pay them off. Ran them up, maxed them out, never paid the debt off. They fell into collections, and then I turned around and started getting a payday loan and whatnot, and I had all this stuff adding up on my credit report, lowering my credit score. My credit score went down to to the 400s. Let's just say that. That should be illegal.
Man.
But my credit score went down to the 400s.
It be like that though, man.
Yeah. And you know what? It wasn't until after I got married is when I started realizing credit was extremely vital and important, because that's when I started applying for different apartments. I tried to get an auto loan. I tried to get multiple things in my name, but I kept getting denied for everything, even little small credit cards. I was getting denied. They were turning me down back to back to back. I said, man, what's going on? Well, why can't I get approved for anything? And I asked a person, a credit repair agent, the lady who introduced me to what I do now. She said, well, this is why. You have an XYZ on your credit report, you're not going to get approved for anything. You're not going to get approved for a chicken sandwich at McDonald's if you applied for it.
God damn.
So,
He said McDonald's. Now, that's, you can't get no lower than McDonald's. Hey, hey, shout out to McDonald's, but you can't get no lower than that, bro.
Exactly.
So you could at least say Del Taco or that's that. Hey, Wendy's. Yeah, you should at least say Wendy's or something, man. You know.
But you know what, man? I said, okay, I gotta handle this, man. And in the midst of me enrolling to the program, within 6 months, man, my credit score had went up 200 points.
Nice.
My credit score shot up 50 points the first month. And then about five months into the program, my credit score shot up an extra 200 points. Damn. So that's a 250 point increase overall. I was happy with that. Like, okay, we're seeing major progress here.
Yeah.
And then from there, I slowly started applying for different things and whatnot, and I started getting approved. Perfect. And then I actually applied for an apartment to get my first place for me and my wife and my son and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I got approved.
Nice.
First time I went through this process, I was getting denied left and right for any and everything I was applying for. Mm-hmm. This time around, boom. After I clean my credit score up, clean my credit report up, lift my credit score, I applied. And on the first go around, it didn't take me going to multiple complexes or anything. First apartment I applied for, I got approved for. From there, it's just been game changing. Just to see how.
See now, it's like you're living a new life, huh? A new man.
The man, I felt like a new man. Like, okay, this is my first place. Finally got to move out of the family home and whatnot. Got my own place, taking care of my family now.
There you go.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But your situation sounds similar to a lot of cats I know, including myself, to where, you know, first of all, lack of education, of credit, and then also a little bit of your financial predicament. You know what I'm saying? Like the shit hits the fan when, you know, when you want to start making shit happen, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I need my place or I need a car, whatever. When the shit really hits the motherfucking fan, you know what I'm saying? So, I would say this. Yeah, a lot of people are uneducated with it. And then let's kind of tap into the history. L kind of touched a little bit on the history of this stuff, you know, like pretty much these are privately owned. These bureau companies and all that or whatever, and then the fact that I'm gonna flip it on y'all. Hold up now, that's what I do. But let's talk about how they got in this situation. You feel what I'm saying? Like, how did these people get rich, and then they just start just coming up with stuff or whatever? Because you know this would sound like, man. This sound like just a bunch of people. Who got a little bit of power or a lot of financial power, and they just start having all this control, gaining all this control over everybody and finances and all that, and they just start coming up with shit, man. To where it's like a goddamn cancer or some kind of disease or something that creep up on you. I don't know if I got ahead of y'all, but I'm just saying, like, people, you know, I like to pick on Trump because it's easy. So I'm going to pick on Trump right now, right? You know what I'm saying? I know he probably don't got nothing to do with the bureau game, but I tell you this. He probably know them motherfuckers. He probably know plenty of them motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Like, these people, some kind of way, they gain some kind of power and control and finances. And then they just start running stuff, man. You know, y'all got any comments? Y'all can dive in if y'all got any comments to say about that, what I just said.
All I got to say is, brother, that's the nation we live in. That's what we was founded on. That was our foundation. It was the barter system. Like, we buy, you know, we buy and trade and sell. You know, if you got butter, I'm gonna buy from you, and I'm gonna just give you this currency. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the type of system that we've came up on. That's why a lot of times now the value of gold and the value of a dollar is not really worth too much now, because now we kind of perfected the game, right? We got things called cryptocurrency now. We got things we can buy and sell with that type of stuff. But I'm saying, like, the business we're in, the nation we're in, that's how we're run, though.
Check this out, though. You know how you just mentioned cryptocurrency, right? Mm-hmm. And I ask cats, I'm like, what is it and where does it come from? Right? And I usually don't really get an answer from it because people really don't know and probably really don't have no interest. But guess what this does? These fools is just slowly gaining all this control. And next thing you know, we got to have cryptocurrency for us to get by. So it's like people be sleeping on a lot of stuff, what be going on, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, Alex was saying how he was sleeping on the credit game, and now he's just preaching, man, and it's real talk. Credit is important, man, but it's run by these private people, these private companies and all that. Like, this is crazy. So, yeah, it's like we got to be up on a lot of things, man. So I just pretty much just don't feel bad, man. If you feel all depressed or whatever because you got bad credit, man, don't even trip, man. But at the same time, work on it. Get it, you know what I'm saying? Work on it. Improve that credit as much as you can, as soon as you can, man. That's just pretty much my underlying message. I don't know if Alex got anything to say, but, you know, I'm just...
Yes. Yes, definitely, man. So when it comes to credit, yet again, we have to reiterate this. You have to make sure that you have a complete understanding of the fact that it is extremely powerful. Mm-hmm. Credit has the power to really make or break you when it comes to coming up in life. And this is where we have to educate ourselves when it comes to credit. Like, for instance, when it comes to receiving those emails that says you're pre-approved for this, or receiving those letters in the mail saying you're pre-approved for a $10,000 car. In all reality, you're not. That's just a game. That's a marketing game that these big companies do in order to get you in the door. Do not run your credit when you see that. So if you're working on your credit right now, if you're working on raising your credit score or anything like that, or you know your credit score is low, we're talking the low 600s or under, do not go around applying for anything. Figure out what it is you need to do in order to establish and build your credit score. And if you know you have hard inquiries, soft inquiries, medical bills, repossessions, student loans, child support, any of these things that can possibly affect your credit score and hit your credit report can be removed from your credit report. So don't sit back and just roll over and just accept what they tell you. Oh, this is going to ruin your credit score for 7 to 10 years. That can be deleted. Even bankruptcies, foreclosures, all these things can be deleted off your credit report. So don't sit down and accept it and say, oh, that's that. Well, I have to wait an X amount of time in order for it to roll on. No, take action. Do your research. But instead of stopping doing that, you want to learn how to actually lift your credit score. So one of the many things you definitely want to do in the midst of that is, say for instance, you have a low credit score and you know you're not going to be able to actually get approved for anything. Go ahead and go and apply for a secure credit card. What a secure credit card is going to do, you're going to have to fund it with your own money. Yes, that's a sacrifice. Take $200 out. Apply for a secure credit card, put it on a secure credit card, and every time you want to go out, you want to go get something or do something right fast, you want to do something small, use $5 or $10 of that off your credit card, and then turn around and pay it right back before the due date. That way you don't have to worry about the interest fees or anything like that. See, you want to continue to keep up with this stuff and actually use it. And once you look up 6 months down the road, you're going to see your credit score jump. You're going to find yourself in a lovely place. And that all starts right now. You want to do that stuff right now. You want to start thinking about your credit right now. You want to pay attention to it. Right. You want to hold yourself accountable to it right now. At this point in time, at the beginning of 2021, this is where you want to actually pay attention to it, because going towards the end of this year, midway through 2021, going towards the end of it, the housing market is more than likely going to take a crash. They're going to take a dip, and when they do, that's going to be the perfect chance to actually go and buy some real estate. That's going to be a perfect time to actually go in and actually get a home, a first-time home buyer. Home buyer home loan. I can't even think of the correct pronunciation for it. But you'll be able to go and apply for a home loan and actually get approved. And next thing you know, you have the lowest interest rates. You have a home now. You can do whatever you want to do with it, whether buy it, fix it up, rent it out, turn it into an Airbnb, turn it into some type of rental property, or some place for you to live personally.
Right.
So, I mean, this is all things you want to think about when it comes to your credit. But yet again, some of the key steps you want to take. Take a look at your credit report. You have any type of negative items on there, go about disputing them off of there. You never want to dispute anything online. You always want to dispute stuff through paper, through letter, and through mail with the credit bureaus. They'll take you more serious. They'll pay more attention to you. So you want to dispute anything, any type of negative item off your credit report. And in the midst of that, do not apply for any type of new credit, no matter what it is. Even if they say you're pre-approved, do not do it. Do not set yourself up for failure. And then on top of that, you have to understand, when it comes to building credit, that is a patient man's process. You have to have patience. It is not an overnight thing. There is no fast route to it or anything like that. You got to sit back, take a deep breath, trust the process, and know it's going to get done.
Right.
Facts. I mean, I'm doing it myself, and I had some medical issues, and so I'm doing it myself. I disputed a few, but I have this thing called CreditWise, and that really helped me these past 6 months. And just looking at it, it's a real good feeling, right? It's a good feeling when you don't use your money for something useless and you use it for something better, you know, because it's a good feeling when you got that notification and your points just went up like fucking 10 to 15, you know? So it's a good feeling out there to all the youth that is listening. So just really...
Pretty good conversation we got going on, man. So L mentioned the company that what's the name of the company you said?
Well, CreditWise goes through Capital One. Okay. So Capital One is one of the banks that I reached out to open up a secure card. They said, you know, use CreditWise, boom, boom, bat. You know what I'm saying? This is what you need to do to get a secure card with us. And just take care of this and such, and you'll be cool. So that's I've been working with them.
Okay. So what company? Or are you associated with a company, or are you doing your own thing, Alex? Break that down, bro.
So yes, bro. What I do specifically is I'm moving to network marketing. So I not only help people build and establish credit, and also teach them about the power of being financially educated, but I also place people in a position to franchise their own company and generate an extra stream of income, whether it's just something to bring in a couple hundred dollars a month or a week, or to actually turn it into a generational thing. Them being able to actually build generational wealth and pass it down to their family. That's how big and powerful this platform is. The person who brought me into this business is only 25 years old. She's making over $300,000 a month. The person that brought her into this business is making over well over $300,000 a week. So there, that goes to show that is the power of network marketing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people may hear the word network marketing and not fully understand that term, not fully know what it is. Mm-hmm. So for what I do specifically, just to break it down a little bit more.
Okay. Break that down.
A lady I ran across on Instagram by Mr. Jay Hongo. She introduced me to this credit restoration program. She enrolled me in the process. She got me all set up. She explained everything to me in complete detail. And from there, I received my dispute letters in the mail, mailed them out, boom. Got my results back from the credit bureaus, boom. And kept doing it over and over. See my credit score increase. And from there, a few months into that process, I ended up losing my job due to health reasons. And once I lost my job, it was like a blessing in disguise, because she called 2 days after I lost my job. Didn't know what I was going to do or anything. She asked me, hey, have you seen results with our company? I said, yes. My credit score increased X amount of points. She said, nice. So do you have faith in the company? I said, yes, I do. She said, okay. You have the opportunity now to franchise your own business. Mm-hmm. Be a business owner, and generate income from your home. More so, generate income from your cell phone. I said, oh, mm-hmm. Okay, tell me more. She said, okay, well, what do you use your phone for? I said, oh, well, I text from my phone, make phone calls from my phone, talk to people. Yeah, that's about it. Take pictures here and there, yeah, you know, regular people stuff, as they said.
Yeah.
She said, okay, well, she said, what kind of phone do you have? Oh, man, at that time, I had a Galaxy 9. No, I had a Galaxy 8. She said, okay, well, so you have a smartphone. I said, yeah. She said, no, you have a dumb phone. I said, well, what do you mean I have a dumb phone? Well, are you using it to generate income? No. Okay, so you have a dumb phone. So the moment you actually turn that around and you start using your phone to bring income, that's when you turn your phone into a smartphone. Why? Because you're actually using it with a purpose. You have a direct reason. You're no longer just paying the bill on something that's doing nothing for you. You're no longer attached to something that's doing nothing for you at all. It's not wasting your time no more. Your phone has purpose to it now. Your phone has power to it now. So I said, okay, all right, sign me up. What extra fees do I have to pay in order to sign up? She said, okay, you pay this X amount of fee, and once you bring in 5 people, guess what? You get refunded, and you're also that monthly retainer fee that you have to pay automatically goes away, because now you enroll 5 people. You start building out your team, and you start moving forward from there. Okay, cool, perfect, nice. But I know I'm getting a little bit off topic, so let me bring it right back. How we operate directly, my bad, guys. Directly when it comes to network marketing is, I'm out talking to people, mingling, having fun, whether it's at Starbucks, whether it's at a bar, which none of that stuff is going on right now with COVID, but whether I'm at the grocery store, whether I'm at the gas station, whether I'm talking to my neighbors, whether I'm talking to my family members, I'm simply having a conversation with them, and I'm sharing what I have to offer, what my company has to offer. They say, okay, I like that. They enroll, I get paid, I keep it going. See, I just network with them, and I market to them, explain to them what it is we got going on, they enroll, that's that. It's no hard or back-breaking work in this. And at first, I used to be, I'm not going to lie, like, I'm a people's person. I love to talk about that, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. How is this for me? Do I really want to be talking to people? Do I really want to be recruiting people? Do I really want to try to sell people? Honestly, in a business like this, when it comes to credit, And when it also comes to helping people create an extra stream of income, it's not selling. You're not selling them. You're helping them.
Right. Yeah.
If you're providing a service that's genuinely helping people change their life, how is it selling?
That part. Yeah.
It's not selling. It's not.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I'm not in the selling business and I'm not in the convincing business. I'm not going to sell to you. I'm not going to convince to you. You have to see this for yourself.
Yeah.
If you like what you hear, let's talk some more. If you don't, all right, bye-bye. Let me pass this opportunity to somebody who's going to actually take it serious and see the power in it and run with it.
Right, right, right.
So that's what I do in a nutshell.
There we have it, man. So you got any like contact information or, you know, like any names, shout outs, names of your company? How can we contact Alex Jordan?
Man, you know what? There's multiple ways to contact me, bro. One of the biggest ways, you can find me on Facebook at Alexander Jordan. You can find me on Instagram at Official Alex Jordan. Or you can send me a text, area code 562-361-6957. Feel free to reach out to me through any of those platforms or ask me any type of questions you may need to ask.
So there we have it. There we have it. Alex Jordan, that's the info right there, man. Spitting some real true game right here, man. People don't need to be sleeping on you. And like I said, they need to hit you up, man. Real talk. And anything else we want to get into for the show? You know, I was thinking we got to do a freedom of mind style, and we got to delve into your top five favorite movies, man. You know what I'm saying? What's your top five? And hold up now. What's your top five favorite black movies? How about that?
Oh, are you asking me?
I'm asking you.
Oh, let's go.
I'm just saying.
Friday.
Okay, all right.
Let's go.
That's
Friday,
one.
Friday.
Okay.
The Wood,
okay.
Hold on. Friday, Wood. Hold on. No matter. Okay, all right. I'm going to list off all the Fridays on that one, big dog.
Okay. all three Fridays?
Yeah, man. I love all three Fridays.
Okay,
all right.
So that's
man.
Three Fridays. You said The Wood. Okay, that's four. You got one more.
Okay, so you know what? I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna back it up a bit.
All right.
Because now there's a number of movies that's coming to mind for so many different reasons.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna list Friday. I'm gonna list The Wood. I ain't gonna lie, man. Menace to Society.
Uh-huh.
I gotta get my LA joints in there, man.
There you go.
Those are throwbacks, and it's a bunch of more throwbacks that I want to lift off, but I can't. So I'm going to bring it up to date right now. Black Panther.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Black Panther.
Okay.
And the reason why, one of the many reasons why I love that movie so much, man, is because there is nothing in it that tore down the African American community.
On the real. Hey, man, that's what's up. That's some real talk right there. That's some real, very positive movie. Very positive movie, man. And, go ahead.
It was so positive, man. Hey, you know how when the Star Wars movies be coming out and whatnot, you see a lot of people from different ethnicities and backgrounds.
Oh, yeah. Everybody coming in to watch it, yeah.
They're dressed up in character.
That part. Hey.
They
coming in. Right. Oh, yeah. It was turned up in the movie theater. Oh, yeah. Yeah, real talk. Yeah.
Man.
Uh-huh.
When Black Panther came out, I seen my black sisters dressed like queens.
What they call it? Cosplay? Yeah.
Huh?
I think they call it cosplay.
Yeah.
Like you said, yeah, people coming in dressed like your sisters dressing up like queens and all that or whatever. Trying to represent Wakanda and all that.
Man, the young kids coming up dressed like kings and whatnot, like, oh,
hey, you know,
it's not the fact that they're dressed like that, it's the fact that mentally, emotionally, yeah, they're holding themselves to that level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, wow.
That's how transcending that movie was. Huge. Yeah. Hey, and check this out. You know what was a proud moment of mine? What was a proud moment of mine is when I saw a little kid, and it was like a little Hispanic little boy. He had a Black Panther mask on and a Black Panther suit on. I was like, oh, that's next level, bro. That little boy wanted to be Black Panther. You know what I'm saying? As a character. I remember growing up as a kid, you know, we didn't have stuff like that. Me, I dressed up as Bart Simpson when I was a kid one time doing a little Halloween look, like a little parade that we had within the school. I'm dead serious, bro. And it's nothing wrong with that. But it's like,
yeah,
I'm saying? Hey, but check this out though. Now we got other kids dressing like Black Panther, man. We need stuff like that. And I was saying this too. And then we got L is a Latin, Afro-Caribbean Latin. And we need some Latino heroes up in here. You know what I'm saying? We need some Asian heroes up in here, man. That stuff is important, man. So yeah, definitely, man. They the Black Panther definitely held it down, man. And then we got a lot of haters around there, man. I always defend blackness. I ain't gonna lie, I do, man. It's in me, man. Anybody that don't know me, you know what I'm saying? You know me. So cats was going around talking about, oh, Black Panther's overrated, it's whack. And you know, they're entitled to their opinion. But I kept hearing, I kept seeing it on social media, like, okay, all right, they sound like some haters. And you know, I had to defend the fact or whatever. And I'm going to say it right here or whatever, you know what I'm saying, on Freedom of Mind. Because like I said, we're doing it the Freedom of Mind way. Hey, man, Dark Knight is overrated. I don't care what nobody say. Dark Knight is a real good movie, but it's called The Dark Knight, not The Joker. So we got Dark Knight over here. And the main reason why people like Dark Knight is because of the dude that played Joker. Let's just keep it 100 because throughout the rest of the movie, it ain't much action. Really, it's about a love triangle. It's like a political love triangle between Bruce Wayne and that girl that he liked, and she didn't like his ass. She liked Two-Face, and then Joker got all up in the mix of that. Harley, not enough action. Although it's a superhero movie, come on now, you know what I'm saying? And you're gonna sit up. And yeah. I didn't say Dark Knight was bad. I said it's overrated. And then you got yeah. Black Panther with enough action, great acting. Great plot. Killmonger was absolutely, I mean, Michael B. Jordan playing Killmonger, I mean, he absolutely killed it.
Man.
So, what's up? I'm not saying that it's better or worse than Dark Knight. I'm just giving everybody a little bit of awareness here and trying to clear some heads up in here that Dark Knight is a little bit overrated. And people better recognize my Black Panther. And I can't wait for the second one to come out. But that's a really good pick, bro. I'm not even gonna lie.
So, do you know they had on the news yesterday?
What's up?
They said since Black Panther passed away, mm-hmm. that role would no longer be cast.
Okay, so see, and when we think of Black Panther, we think of Chadwick Boseman, right? Great actor, exactly. And he was up and coming too, man. And first of all, that guy right there, he played iconic roles. Listen to me, not too many cats can pull off playing James Brown. James Brown was extremely charismatic. He was an extremely unique guy. The way he talked, the way he danced, he had that down, bro. And then he's gonna turn around and play Thurgood Marshall. And then he's going to turn around and play Jackie Robinson. This guy played very important black people, very important Americans that just helped change stuff. I mean, we're talking about powerful people here, you know what I'm saying? And he played them, he portrayed them to the T, bro. And it's like, I don't think he got enough credit, bro. It had to take after he died for people to give him his recognition, you know what I'm saying? But dude was a powerful actor. And then he had this, there's this movie that he made. Actually, I caught two of them. First of all, I enjoy his acting was beautiful. He was underrated actor, bro, like for real. But Ma Rainey, that was one movie he did about the blues singer. He was absolutely phenomenal in that. And he was absolutely phenomenal in The Five Bloods. Five Bloods about the Vietnam vets. Powerful movie, bro. Yeah. His performance on that was amazing.
He was singing that too.
So
he did amazing.
Absolutely. So that being said,
in the last film he was in, they have it on Netflix. The last one he was in, he killed that role as well.
I'm telling you, bro. Okay.
I can't think of the name of them. I'm sorry.
I thought it was Ma Rainey, but it could have been something else. But I thought it was Ma Rainey about the blues singer. So.
Yeah, that one.
There we go.
Hey, but I'm sorry. Just one last thing.
What's up?
Just to bring it back. Killmonger, man.
Man.
Killmonger,
bro.
That last line. Just bury me in the ocean with my ancestors that jumped from the ship because they knew death was better than bondage.
That part, bro. On the road. That brought some. I mean, that's just, you can't. It don't get no realer than that. That's just. You can't nobody be mad at him for that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, the villain was damn near almost like the hero. You know what I'm saying? He was kind of like that. That's the most beloved villain like ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, that guy is up there. You know what I'm saying? I like to say that Deacon Frost was one of my favorite villains on Blade. But that, I'm sorry, Phil Killmonger topped it. He didn't top that, but. You know what I wanted to iterate that you kind of brought up to about that situation with who's gonna play Black Panther. I think somebody who's qualified can play Black Panther. Right now, they just gotta just. I know, and it's like, you know, when you think of Black Panther, you think of Chadwick Boseman. But hey, you know what? Honestly, he wasn't a young guy. He was in great shape, but he was in his early 40s. He was not a young guy. He looked great for his age. I mean, he looked 25. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing. But somebody qualified to play the role. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure they're there, but it's not going to be easy to find.
Not to cut you off, but who played the superhero better, right? We got Wesley in Blade.
Oh, man.
And then we got Chadwick Boseman.
Why you say that?
Yeah, and Black Panther.
You know, damn well, Blade is my favorite movie.
So who played the superhero better?
Hey, bro. Chad getting his glory right now. I don't want to overshine Chadwick Boseman. But I'm sorry, bro. Like, Blade, man. But Blade didn't have the impact of a whole freaking planet, like... You know what I'm saying? Like, although Blade set off Marvel movies, Marvel films, people don't want to give him his props. Without Blade, Blade was first that really set off.
Was it Blade or Spawn was first?
No. We're talking about for Marvel. We're talking about Marvel. It set off Marvel, you know what I'm saying? Because it came out in 98. And then after that, I mean, that just opened up the floodgates for Marvel, man. But I'm sorry, man. Blade, man, that's... Wesley, listen to me, man. Chadwick was an incredible actor, but Wesley was doing it before Chad. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you know, Wesley's the main man. People can say all they want about him with all the tax stuff and all that because that's what people want to bring up sometimes. Oh, well, you know, the taxes. Well, I say, well, Trump, you know what I'm saying? He only paid a couple thousand dollars and he got back millions of dollars. So, yeah, I shut them up on that. So, but yeah, I
got you know, it's a lot of people that didn't do taxes. That never got caught to the forefront like that, man. But my biggest thing is this, bro. Huh. I understand that Chadwick Boseman was up in age to a certain degree, and I feel like this. Although his role is retired for now. I feel like it definitely will make a comeback, but it's gonna be a while before that even takes place and happens. It'll be a long while. It'll be a long while. And one of the main reasons why is because the way he killed that role and perfected it. It's gonna be fresh in a lot of people's minds for the next couple of years to come.
I feel that.
And then on top of that, when they do recast it and bring it back, oh, they're gonna wanna do it in such a huge way, it's gonna blow out the movie theaters.
But check this.
And if they were to do that right now, it'd be too many people mad and not wanting to
support
it.
Yeah, that's true. People are gonna be pretty upset. Yeah. And when people think, because I remember it was kids. who was like, give them like a funeral with all the other little action dolls or whatever. And it was like, I saw that all over the news when Chad died or whatever. They were showing that on the news how it was a bunch of kids that got all the little toys of their favorite superheroes, and they were like burying, they were giving him like a funeral or whatever, you know, like Black Panther. So it's like, yeah, people, yeah, that, I mean, he's Black Panther, but I would say this too. I'm gonna bring this up too, that wouldn't you want to get an African, an actual African to play? I know Chadwick Boseman look, he had that look, but Chadwick Boseman was from the United States. I believe he was from like Chicago or something like that. Like,
I mean, who would you put, Akon?
Stop it, man. So
I'm asking.
Hey, bro, there's actors out there, bro. There's African actors out there, you know, that you can find who's athletic and what acting skills. I'm sure they're out there, you know, or maybe even what you call them, brothers? Nigerian Brits, I think they call them. You know what I'm saying? Like a first generation brother.
Talk about Idris Elba like that.
Yeah, but Idris Elba is like, you know, he's too old, but yeah, he needs to play James Bond, but that's a whole other thing. But I'm contradicting myself. But check this out. But hey, check this out though, man. Like, hey, you know how racists deal with something that just happened, like a protest or whatever, or a cop that shot a unarmed Black brother. They just tell the media just to calm it down for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Give him a few months and just calm. Yeah, we know he shot that brother, but you know we gonna keep it quiet. That's what we need to do with Black Panther. Go ahead and just fall back, everybody. We in our emotions right now. Chad died. Okay, all right, but. Let's get back to business here up in here. You know what I'm saying? We need a Black Panther, man. Because I just saw stuff. They talking about the sister going to try to play him or take his... Nah, stop it. You know, like, come on now. It, like I said, why people want to honor him after he died? Come on now. But people got... I was one of those brothers. I'm like, this brother right here is on next level acting. Everybody was just like, oh, yeah. Uh-huh, and then that was it. Now, oh, well, you know, we gotta honor the guy. Nah, come on now. You know what I'm saying? And I understand that, but it's like, come on now. Nah, you know, it's you know, let give time for another brother to shine. You feel what I'm saying? You know, like I said, get an African brother, whatever. But right now, you know what I'm saying? You know, just kind of give it maybe next year. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe even the year after that. All right, you know, you get ready. You know, everybody didn't calm down or whatever, except the fact that the brother died. And you know what? Your ass slept on him at first. You know what I'm saying? So realize that reality and fall back. That's just my opinion. But I feel you.
All right. So we're going to get into music real quick before the show's over.
Yeah.
I want everybody's opinion on who had the number one album for 2020.
Oh man, that's tough, man. I can't even think of albums 2020. Wait a minute. You got Nas. I really like that album. King's Disease, I think it's called. Let's see. I like
Jonah Lucas.
That came out last year or did that come out this year?
Came out last year.
Okay, that's a good one. What's the name of that one called? Revolution or something like that. Evolution,
yeah.
That's a really good one.
I know Conway the Machine, shout out to Griselda in Buffalo, New York, you know what I'm saying? That's my part of East Coast, you know what I'm saying? Jordan Lucas is from my area in Boston, so there was a few cats from there that dropped albums too. I mean, if I had to go with the number one album,
I'm
going to go with Nas, yeah. Definitely Nas.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Alex?
I can't hear that. My side was in and out. What were you saying?
Oh, he was just like, before we go, he wanted to know if you have a favorite album of 2020. We're like, what you feel was the best album of 2020?
Favorite album from 2020?
We all went, we both went with Nasir.
Yeah. Nasir Jones, Heart's Disease, King's Disease. My bad, Heart's Disease, King's Disease.
I don't think I know who that is.
Nas, I'm talking about Nas.
Oh, Nas.
Yeah.
Oh, Nas album.
Yeah.
You know, it's called, man, I haven't even heard it yet. I've been so ticked off with dealing with business, man. I haven't I really listen to music like that. Plus, a lot of music out now
sucks.
Okay. Is, I'm not gonna lie, it's just garbage.
Hey, I'm with you.
I don't want to hear all that. I think this is
that part,
and then,
man.
Like the new wave that's out now with a lot of these cats, they're talking on music.
Man,
they're talking about music and calling it rap.
Right.
I just went to my baby mama house here.
Yeah. That part. And they hop on the auto tune. Then they hop on the auto tune and act like they're doing something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't want to hear any of that. I want to hear a real album. That I want to hear real music.
Right.
Matter of fact, I want to hear something that I'm not gonna lie, as a man, a lot of men don't say it or nothing like that because they're constantly trying to uphold this image of I'm hard, I don't care about nothing.
Right.
No, I want to hear something emotional. I want to hear something real with real emotion.
Okay, Drake. Okay, that's
whether,
what's up.
A prime example. Nipsey Hussle last thing, Victory Lap. His last album that he put out.
Okay.
Well, his album that he put out. That right there is such a masterpiece.
I listen to that on
Dayton still.
I'm gonna have to agree with you on that. You know, it was a prolific album, man. The material on there, the production. Me, I'm really into production. The production was really good, and it was pretty authentic too, man. He kept it true to himself, man. So I'm gonna have to agree with that. Although I'm not the biggest Nipsey fan, or never really was, but I'm not gonna sit up there and hate. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
you
the
know,
marathon continues, man. RIP Nip forever, man.
There we go.
Hey, man, we gotta end this show, bro. But man, great show, bro. And thanks for the knowledge, Alex. I appreciate it a lot, bro. Seriously.
Definitely. Thank you guys for inviting me on, man. I appreciate the fact that you guys even thought enough to bring me on. So
man.
I appreciate both of you guys. Thank you so much. And I hope you guys have me on in the future too, man.
Hey, same here, bro.
Appreciate you, man.
Freedom of mind, y'all.